Hey, everybody. Welcome to DSJNP.com Wrestling Podcast. This is episode 14, but I want to take a minute. Just take 1 second to thank Rocky Mountain High for everything he does for the DSJNP.com community. I know it's not a very big community, but he puts effort towards it, and I want to thank him. Please, guys, follow him on Twitter, Rocky Mountain High on Twitter. Please follow him. I want to thank him very much because without him, I wouldn't have been able to spend time with my nephew and my brother and my sister. So I thank you very much, Rocky Mountain High. In my book, you are the one who keeps this podcast together, and I greatly appreciate it. So please take a listen. He's your host this week. You've got Heavyset, Wayne is a Baker, and Chevy co-host this week. I want to thank all of them, and please listen. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think. Have a great week, everyone.
He's British, that's a whole different disability.
Hi, everybody. This is Rocky Mountain High with your friends Wayne is a Baker and Big Chevy for the WrestleCast episode 14. Say hi, gentlemen.
Hi. Does it matter? I'm sure everyone's not listening by now, now that DV's not here.
Yes, DV is away on family business this week, soon to return next week. Chevy and I are in our various states of disability. Wayne is a Baker, as usual, is in perfect fine fettle.
He's British. That's a whole different disability.
Oh, man.
So harsh.
Well, he just attended Raw live in London. So he's at an advantage to all of us. I'm surprised he can talk tonight.
So I'm feeling a bit woozy and that, but no, ready to talk some good old wrestling.
Good deal. Well, let's start right out with our Keep, Toss, and Improve segment. Wayne, what have you got for this week? Keep, Toss, and Improve.
I'm going to start with a slight one. I want to improve the Sheamus-Cesaro match. I thought, you know, there were some good striking bits of the match, uppercuts and stuff, but the only criticism I got was, what was that bit in the middle? 5-odd minutes and that, where Cesaro just kept lobbing Sheamus out. I know it was to like show Cesaro's strength off and everything, but that just really got repetitive. I don't know how it came across on screen and everything, but yeah, I didn't really like that bit of the match.
Chevy?
I mean, that was Beat the Clock, right? What, the first one?
No, yeah. I think that was just literally a normal straight non-title match.
Oh, I don't know. I had to watch Raw really quickly this week.
No, it's just a really pointless 5-minute bit in the middle of the match. He just repeatedly just kept slinging him out of the ring. That start that was getting pops in the crowd and stuff, going one more time and that. I just thought that really just ruined the flow of the match, personally. And other than that, that would have been like, you know, a good opening match for the program.
Okay, so that was your, was that your keep or your toss?
No, that was my improve.
Your improve, okay.
Yep. And this week, I just want to toss one bit that really annoyed me. That was that chest pounding bit with Cena and the Usos. Oh, apparently it was a rip-off of Wolf of Wall Street. I've never seen the film, but it was just, I don't, that looked cheesy. I don't think that got over with the crowd either.
Well, it didn't get over with me. I'm with you on that one.
Oh, it was just, I don't even think, was it Renee interviewing him? I don't even think she knew what to make of it. She even just stood there a bit sort of, yeah, I'm feeling slightly awkward here.
Yeah, my thought on Raw was it was really up and down. It was pretty good overall, but there were a couple of really bad bits. That was one of them.
Yeah. I don't think half the talents were ready to go to England. They didn't have stuff that was aimed at them, or they had stuff that's factually incorrect when you speak to Brits. Like, I remember Bray Wyatt was talking about having to pay a lot for school, and in England they don't have they're not as into private schools as they are in America. And up until recently, college was free the whole way, so he didn't do his homework.
Yeah, I'll tell you who I thought was great with the crowd, even better than he usually was Bad News Barrett.
Oh, he had an amazing, which I'm going to talk about later on my best of the week, so I won't go into it, but he was actually the main bit of the post-show when the cameras stopped rolling, and you got a good sort of quarter of an hour, 20 minutes of him where he was absolutely brilliant. So, like I say, I'll go into that a bit later on.
Okay. So you've given us your improve and your toss. How about your keep?
I would probably say, just a little fun one, Big E back watching his monitor out the back. I love that. Just the fact that they couldn't find a use for him promo and speak and that they just have to plonk him with a towel in front of a monitor. Like, that's the only thing he can do. I just love it.
Oh, you're evil. Oh, that's great. Chevy, how about you? Keep, toss, and improve?
I'm going to keep that. I feel like there's the first real competitor for the Usos in the Wyatt family. I'm really excited for that. It's the most excited I've been for it. Whenever they announce it, it'll be the most excited I've been for a WWE tag team title match in a while. And I feel like it's a good direction for the Usos instead of feuding with Axel Beck.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. I'm going to toss old Van Damme as Bad News Barrett's opponent for Payback. It just doesn't seem like a very good opponent. A lot of people haven't really cared that much. He hasn't really had good ring work since he came back, and he's not a good talker, and it's not going to give Bad News Barrett as much time to shine as it should.
You know, I was impressed with his performance on Raw last night because I was feeling the same way after last week. But I thought he really stepped it up. I don't know if he laid off the pot. Maybe he couldn't get it through customs or something. But I thought he was looking much better in his in-ring work last night.
I mean, yeah, it was a short match also. They didn't really have to stall or anything.
Right.
It just went in, did their moves, and it was over.
That's the whole point of his return, though. Well, obviously for him is to make a bit of money, but he is purely going to be used as a tool to get people over as an ex-champ and everything. And, you know, that's why he's going against Bad News Barrett, purely just to get him over. Because if you put him with someone like Ziggler, the crowd are going to be split. They're going to be wanting, like, Ziggler to win and that, at least with RVD. It's pretty much RVD will get a quick pop, put him over, and that'll be job done for a month.
Well, Bad News Barrett is supposed to be the heel.
I know, but it's not coming across like that,
though. Yeah, everyone was in love with him last night.
He's going to get a lot more. Dolph Ziggler would put more heat on him than old Van Damme would.
You know what would be funny? Would be Barrett and Zeb in a verbal smackdown. Barrett would come out on top of that one. Might be embarrassing for Zeb.
That's one more reason why Real Americans should have gone face with Cesaro.
Those I two think there could have been money to be had with that, to be honest.
Yeah. Poor old Jack Swagger, I'll tell you, he's really lost. I got to wonder how long he's going to be there. Now he's Zeb's hitman. That's kind of the extent of the role.
He's always just been an in-ring worker with that gives you nothing outside of the ring.
Yeah, it's certainly the role now. Okay, so Chevy, what else? You gave us two of the three.
I guess for improve, more Bad News Barrett. I thought he was awesome, but I think after every single Beat the Clock match, he should have come out on his podium and yelled at the people. Yes. And then like after the last match, there's like a long awkward pause, and like people are like, and then like people, you just wait for people to start chanting Bad News Barrett, and then he finally comes out.
Okay, well, I'll give you mine. For keep, I'd say Bad News Barrett. I thought he just really stepped up. You could tell he was really happy to be there, and the crowd loved having him there. After this segment, I'd like to pick your brain, Wayne, and talk about your experience there at Raw, but it just looked like he was having so much fun, and the crowd was as well. For the improve, I got a couple of things. One was Heyman's promo, which was early on in Raw, and he started insulting the crowd, and I thought he did that in a pretty good way. But then JBL put out a crack that had me in stitches, but probably wouldn't work on anybody else. He said when Heyman was on his back with his great fat belly up in the air, JBL said he looks like Ralph Cramden. Well, that's a really funny joke if you're over about 55 years old, and if you're under 55 years old, you don't get it at all. So that's an improve for JBL. And for the keep, I'm going to say Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. The more I watch that, the more I like it, and it's just freaking awesome. And you have to DVR it because it's on at 1 o'clock in the morning on Wednesdays, Denver time. And it's on at 1 o'clock in the morning on Sundays over the air in Los Angeles. So it's definitely a DVR thing. But, hey, everything's DVR. I don't watch commercials anymore. Screw that. So, okay, enough for keep tossing and improve. Wayne, tell us about Raw with 17,000 of your closest friends in London.
Oh, that was obviously my first ever, like, WWE experience. And I don't know what hell shows alike compared to that. I'm guessing they're not story based and they're quite scaled down, but just unbelievable experience. Favorite bit, I'll do it now, I've got another best of the week, was the post show. I just thought that was so funny. You had the crowd so high from the Adam Rose segment, chanting away and everything, and unfortunately that sort of tampered with the main event. But once Raw finished and that, you had Bray Wyatt come down with the shoe from John Cena. Was it Rowan through or Harper? That was Harper. Through down from the stage. And the crowd got singing to John Cena's music. John Cena's shoe! John Cena's shoe! And it was just fucking brilliant. And Wyatt was pissing himself. And he was like, you think that's it, London? No. He goes, I'm going to open an open challenge to the back. Suddenly, Shield's music hit. That just hit off. They had a massive fight. The other, Rowan and Bray ran away and left. No, it was Rowan left, sorry. And got triple power bombed. Next thing, Bad News Barrett. Bad News Barrett's music hit. And he come out and went, I've got some bad news for you, Rowan. Give him the ball hammer. And everyone just started going crazy. He done a bit of speech about British talent and everything. Brilliant. And then Steph come back out and said, that's it, I've had enough. I am now going to cut off all the lights. I've had enough of this. We're not getting fined for overrunning. All the lights in the arena got cut out. And suddenly Bad News Barrett managed to get back onto the microphone and go, Stephanie, you can kiss my British ass. that was just brilliant, and obviously you know who that brought out then. Triple H come out and had a massive ding-dong with the crowd saying maybe you should try deodorant and, you know, eating some lemons that might improve your breath. He proper was brilliant. Well, that brought Adam Rose out, didn't it, because of the lemons. And that basically, he got ball-hammered Triple H, and then Adam Rose just danced around Triple H's fallen body for a bit with a light show and everything. That was just a really good end. Obviously, you never get to see this. And that was probably my favourite bit of the night, and that weren't shown, which I think's gotten. And I think that's going to now make me watch that DVD that's just come out of The Best of the Unseen.
Best of After Raw.
That's the one, yeah. Because if that's stuff like that, there'll be so many hidden gems and stuff.
That's great. You know, I wonder if that after show is on the network. I didn't watch it last night, but it sounds absolutely brilliant. I've got to see that. I really hope they make it available.
Yeah, the after show, what, from London? Or the after show DVD? Yeah,
from London.
Oh, I watched the post show today. That's the only bit of the actual program that I've seen from last night. And no, they were just in a studio in America, and they never show any of the stuff after the camera stopped rolling. So,
Daily Wrestling News has the YouTube links to them, to people who shot them from their phone.
We're getting some echo. Whoever's not speaking, can you mute your mic, please? Okay, well, let's kind of run through Raw one by one, and I took a lot of notes on it. So let me get your opinions on it. The opening segment was Bray Wyatt cutting a promo where he claimed to be evil. But I found that a little bit of a character disconnect, because he says, yeah, I'm evil. You know, my teacher told me I'm evil, and it turns out I am, and so forth. But he doesn't really do anything evil, at least not very much. Certainly not as bad as what Evolution does. So it seems to me that if he wants to really be evil, he's going to have to really step it up and do some really dastardly tactics. Chevy, what do you think?
I talked about this last week, where his ideology and just the words he speaks, like, they're all cult leader-ish stuff, but not all cult leaders the same type of leader. But he's, and there's about four or five identical types of leaders, but he's kind of pulling from all five of these. And so his character's a little bit all over the place. Not that the promos aren't good, but if you kind of try to put all the pieces together and create some cult of Bray Wyatt ideology, that it doesn't match up.
See, WWE Creative did not check with the Divinity student. They need to get their storyline lined up.
Yeah. It's Bray Wyatt. He's the one writing all these promos, so he should have had. I don't think he cares that much, because there's not as many people like me that are going to pick apart the details and really know that there's multiple types of leaders. So many people just think there's one type of cult leader, and they just imagine the guy who's up there at the pulpit being super charismatic, talking about how bad the world is.
Well, Wayne, I'd like to get your opinion on this as well, because part of that segment, he talked about how mean and belittling his teachers were in his primary school. And it seems to me that that's kind of a recurring theme in a lot of British television shows and novels and things. So I just wondered how that landed with the British crowd.
To be honest, I think that weren't the crowd, or that's what it felt like when I was watching it. The crowd was lost and started chant and other stuff, and, you know, sort of strayed away. I don't know how that come across on your national telly and that.
The crowd was really engaged most of the night, but they tended to be chanting sort of random things here and there, which is often a sign that they're just really exuberant and happy, and any little thing will set them off in a chant. That's the impression I got.
They cut a lot. Bray Wyatt wasn't as bad, but apparently, like, they downsized Stephanie McMahon by like a half, which we'll get to later.
Yeah. Okay, Wayne, what did you think of that whole segment with Bray?
I think they're trying to, like you said, he's talking every week, and some weeks he's going back on what he said other weeks, and it's going on too long. You've got then Cena playing idiots with his side, you know, whenever he speaks. His feud is just going on a bit too long. It's losing me. Like, when Bray Wyatt speaks now, it's sort of washing over me, and I'm sort of going blank for a couple of minutes. And yeah, I'm just, the first month of the rivalry, I was really getting into it. It's now just starting to turn into background.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's helped a lot by the facial expressions, which may not be very visible when you're live, but it came across well on TV, I thought, his facial expressions while he was doing it. So after that segment came Heyman doing his promo, insulting the crowd. He flopped down on his back and made this tasteless crack about how, no, I'm not the queen finally dead and idiot Prince Charles on the throne. I'm, you know, this is my impersonation of The Undertaker, blah, blah, blah. What did you guys think of that, Chevy?
It was just more of what we've seen from Paul Heyman. And it's too much of him worrying about getting heat so that it ultimately transfers to him, to Brock Lesnar when he comes back for SummerSlam, honestly. Because Cesaro is still pretty over with the crowd, and they're still doing feats of strength and stuff with Cesaro to make him get these pops. But with Paul Heyman by him, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel the same way, that Heyman's job clearly is to keep Brock alive in people's minds. And I'm not sure why he's glued to Cesaro at all. But anyway, Wayne?
To be honest, that was two people I really wanted to see, and I actually really enjoyed that segment. I have to be like the opposite on what you thought was Cena and Bray. That was two people that I really wanted to see, and I really liked the Heyman insults and that towards the crowd. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, that's great, because I'm always worried about that. You know, how will these cultural things translate or not? Will they fall flat? Will they get them wrong? Will they get them right? I'm glad they got it right.
Well, that was constant the whole night, so that was, you sort of were disappointed if they weren't insulting the Brits at some point.
Well, they certainly have enough Brits on staff, so you would hope they'd get it right.
Most Europeans are champions at the moment.
Yeah, funny how that works. So the next match was Cesaro versus Sheamus, which Wayne talked about a little bit earlier. I thought overall it was a good match. The crowd was really engaged. Cesaro pulled out a lot of heel moves. He's definitely turning more and more heel with each week. You know, he started out where he slapped Sheamus on the break rather than a clean break. And I thought he did a lot of selling as well, which you don't normally see Cesaro do a lot of. It was a very physical match. It seemed like they were just beating the hell out of each other. Cesaro did a little bit of this drunk punching thing. You know, he'd take a backbreaker and come up, you know, sort of drunk punching, which was a new thing. I'm not sure what to think of that. It shows a little more emotion and personality, I guess, but not sure I'm buying it. Overall, I thought it was a good heel win. I thought it forwarded Cesaro's transformation into a heel, and it also forwarded Sheamus as a face, because he was jolly and gracious in defeat, extended his hand. Cesaro ducked the hand, you know, in another heel move. I was happy with it.
How did his reception come across on television?
Oh, it seems to me the crowd always loves Cesaro.
I mean, Sheamus.
Oh, Sheamus?
Because he was booed. When his music hit, he was booed. That proper, the whole arena was booing him. And I was like, all right, I didn't expect that. I was expecting a massive pop when it came out. It really shocked me.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Do you, Chevy?
Yeah, he was getting booed pretty heavily. And I maybe part of it's because, like, there were a lot of rumors that Sheamus was going to be heel by now. And he's not, or maybe some of it's just English people don't like not English people.
Or Irish.
And so, they're
really had a problem with the Irish and that, but I thought I must have missed something when they started booing. I was like, I don't know if this is just a wrestling thing that we've got a problem with the Irish or not, but yeah, that was just a massive shock, because I was expecting a massive pop as soon as the lights hit and the music hit, and suddenly I was like, boo, really heavily.
Yeah, it's probably interesting. I did not remember that, but
it's probably honestly more that they're just such big Cesaro fans.
Yeah, he is just so over right now. It's amazing. Yeah. And getting better all the time, it seems. Okay, well, the next thing up was a video clip about the Evolution and Shield feud. The only memorable thing I wrote down about that was I didn't recognize Batista with his new black beard. He looked like the reincarnation of Mad Dog Vachon with black shoe polish in the beard. Looked strange to me. And then later on with all the tattoos up and down his arms and his ribs. I don't know. I guess I just preferred his look from 10 years ago. Chevy, what do you think of that?
Honestly, most of the just backstage segments with only Evolution or their video packages haven't been that good as far as I'm concerned.
Nothing too memorable, I thought. Wayne, how about you? Oh, you probably didn't see it.
We just got literally sort of quiet versions on the screen, so I couldn't really take in what they were saying.
Yeah, that's how it usually is at a live show. And then they introduced the German announce table. I thought that was great. And I thought, oh boy, this has got to get somehow involved in the show later on, which it did. Okay, then we had the first Beat the Clock match. They announced Barrett. He gets big pop just the, you know, saying his name. Ryback cut what I thought was an extremely lame promo before the match. And it was funny. There were several wrestlers who I thought looked big but not ripped. It's almost like they've been eating too many chips and not enough fish while they were in England for the last week. Both Ryback and Big E, you know, look big and bulky, but certainly not ripped. Curtis Axel was outside during that match with this idiotic red knit hat on. I don't know what the point of that was. And I thought it was mildly amusing that Ryback was in a red and yellow kind of Hogan-colored singlet. Anyway, Big E won that match at 5 minutes and 2 seconds, so that set the bar for the following Beat the Clock. Chevy, what do you think of the first Beat the Clock match?
It was just to get the concept over and just to keep Big E relevant until they actually put him in something. Because WWE doesn't want to give up on him, but they have no idea what to do with him.
Yeah, he's Big E is so weak on the microphone that it's pretty hard to do anything with him. Wayne, what did you think of the match?
Totally agree with Chevy. That was just to pad out the Beat the Clock gimmick. It done its trick, added a time to the board. Neither of them lit anything up.
Okay, then after that match, R-Truth came down with the Funkadactyls. He's back to singing his song, which I much prefer to the year or 10 years it seemed like when he just came out silently. Fandango came out with Layla. They started making out quite explicitly in the ring. Of course, this prompts the infuriated Summer Rae to stomp down to the ring and pissed off. She yanks on Fandango's arm and kisses him and then starts this cat fight with Layla. Fandango drags Layla out of the ring, but they got a hair lock on each other. Summer Rae stayed in the ring looking smug. The whole thing was over in a couple of minutes. To me, it was... I don't know. It was just kind of a nothing, kind of a filler. Chevy?
Well, I think it's them getting ready to push Summer Rae now that she's done shooting the movie. So she'll come out, get a victory over Lay Cool. Because I think Summer Rae's going to be champ within the next year by WrestleMania. She's one of the more talented divas. She's looked pretty good in what she's done so far. She just got put up against Santino and Emma too much.
Ah, okay. Wayne, what do you think?
That was sort of ruined, that segment, for me by the embarrassment of my wife marking out next to me. And that was the one that she wanted to see. And when that music hit, she proper squealed. And she said that, you know, I'm not going to get that excited. I don't really want to go. But when that music hit, she squealed. And it just... I just sat there, slumped in my chair, going, no, don't look at me.
Squealed for Summer or Fandango?
Fandango.
Or she calls so Fandango. Lucky that...
she likes him?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think she finds him that particularly attractive. I just think she actually likes the gimmick. So WWE finally found the one person that likes the dancing gimmick.
Well, how often does she watch?
Well, it's getting to the point where I'm making her watch Raw every week, sort of chaining her up and facing her towards the screen and that, so.
You are so lucky to have a wife who's a mark for this stuff that you don't have to chain up to watch the screen. That's awesome.
And she's also marked out for Adam Rose later in the evening. I just thought, what are you doing? I said, next year you're going to say you're a Santino fan, but she didn't get that bad. She draws the line at him, so.
How about Cena?
She hates John Cena, so.
Okay, so it's not a total loss.
No. It just seems like the children segment she's into. I don't know if that says something more about her, to be honest.
I think it's great. So how soon until you start taking flamingo dancing lessons?
What, and start wearing leopard print trousers and stuff?
Yeah, you never know what it might lead to.
You wouldn't want to see me dancing, trust me. Bits would wobble that weren't supposed to wobble.
I have this vision.
He's been doing it. He's just ashamed to tell anybody.
Oh, the mind reels. All right, so the next segment, Daniel Bryan's music hits, big pop, of course, from the crowd, and then Stephanie comes out and cuts a promo. And I understand we only got about half of this, but she says, you know, Barrett's bad news line with this terrible English accent, which I thought was pretty funny. She said she was going to, she might strip Daniel Bryan of the title and give it to Kane or Barrett, insults the crowd a bit more. Gee, maybe I'll give the title to Batista, maybe Triple H. She demanded that Bryan show up on Raw next week and surrender the title because it's best for business, and then she left. Chevy, what'd you think of that whole Stephanie bit?
I mean, it was good heat, and they're in an awkward place, and I'll talk about this more later. But because I said before Royal Net Raw that they're going to strip him at June 2nd because they don't want to throw together a title match, an impromptu title match for at Payback. And so I think this is just them trying to create a story to occupy Raw this week and next week to get us to June 2nd where they actually strip Daniel Bryan. Because it's going to feel awkward if they give it to someone else and then don't have them wrestle at the next pay-per-view. So they're just pushing it down the road.
Yeah, that I kind of got that feeling as well. It was kind of a holding action. Wayne, what did you think? You were there and you were listening to Steph through all the CM Punk chants and the whole extended bit that we didn't get on the TV feed here.
Absolutely loved it. I even loved the person that was dead behind me that shouted out, "I'm gonna fucking kill you," at Stephanie, because I thought she's obviously done her job. The fact that he wound up someone to the point that they went so red-faced and shouted that out. She was one of the things I actually went to see. So glad she come out and done that, and the faux entrance just made it. I totally agree with Chevy. I think they've got to strip him now, because for weeks she's been every opportunity to get a dig in of, "I'm going to strip you if you don't go out there. I'm going to strip you if you..." She's been doing it for weeks. Finally get the chance to do it. It seems stupid if then she goes, "Oh no, you can have the belt now and whatever, come back in 3 weeks." Surely this, it makes sense for her now to say, "Right, I've got a chance to strip you, I'm going to do it." And then the chase is back on for Daniel Bryan to go back after his belt.
Which is probably the best plot device that they could have for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
It certainly worked for the last couple of years.
Because I don't think there's the people for him to feud with as him's the main man. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely.
At the moment, there's no one that is up there with him as a heel. So I think that's better to get someone put in as champ or whatever and then have Daniel Bryan chase after him. And then you'll actually bring someone else back up with Daniel Bryan. I think that's probably the way to go.
I think you're right. Yeah, to me, the most credible heel for him to feud with right now is Triple H. And I'm not sure that Triple H wants to or should be in that role for an extended time.
Someone who's 44 with quad issues might be a problem for them to be a champion full time, because there's no way he can tour the belt at house shows and stuff at his age and medical and that.
Well, and his plate's so full with his executive responsibilities. Hey guys, we have been joined by the famous and infamous Heavy Set. How are you, Heavy?
I'm doing good. I'm seeming to be making podcast rounds today, so let's do this.
Well, we're just talking about Stephanie's segment. We're going through Raw last night. Wayne attended live in London. And we're just talking about Stephanie's segment, which unfortunately we got on the tape delay, the edited version where they took out all the CM Punk chants and apparently about half the duration of her bit. Any comment on what you saw, or did you see it yet?
I only got to see a small portion of Raw last night. I'm working on episode of the Ohio Indy Report, and I happened to stop at a truck stop, watch a little bit, and then I had to get back to it. I didn't get to see that part. I heard a lot about it, and I heard it got into the conversation when you guys were talking about stripping Daniel Bryan, and I think, granted, she was saying, like, "Oh, I'm going to strip you, but that was kind of a plot device, what they were doing, and then, like, finally, like, something actually happened, like, "Oh, shit, we might have to strip him," and they don't want to do that just yet, and with them waiting, I think they're trying to give him one more week of recovery, seeing how everything goes, because this is a surgery that could, he can be out 6 weeks, and that could be something that they could find a way to work around, or it could be a six-month thing, so obviously then they would want to go down a different road, and it's been less than a week since the surgery, so they're giving it at least one more week to heal up a little more and just see where they're going before they make any type of rational decision, which to me makes sense.
You know, it's so ironic that they're going down that storyline and we're going to strip you, and then holy shit, all of a sudden it's looking like they're going to have to really strip him. Oops, hadn't counted on that. Right after Stephanie's segment, 3MB came out, labeled as the Union Jacks, dressed in these Union Jacks sort of suits, to the Rolling Stones' satisfaction. Heath started up a promo but was interrupted by Lana. She starts insulting the crowd, putting over Putin. The crowd went nuts chanting. I couldn't make out what the chant was, but they really reacted. The video shows the Russian flag over the White House and then over the Palace of Westminster. Rusev goes on to squash all three members of 3MB outside the ring. Then he puts Heath in the camel clutch pretty quickly. And then in a nice heel move, he won't break it when Heath taps. Chevy, what'd you think of that segment?
I'm not sure what to think, because the British crowd didn't really seem to know what to think of it either. They popped once when the music and the Union Jacks thing came up, but as soon as the actual people from Three Man Band came out, they went dead silent.
I wouldn't have said that. Pre-show and early on in the show, there was a lot of actually "We Want 3MB" chants. I don't know if that was just to be ironic or whatever, but when they come out, they actually got quite a big sort of pop in that. And you know, and Rocky Mount High, just to your question, you couldn't hear what the England fans were chanting. Really weren't a creative chant. It was just "England, England, England." Yeah, that was all okay. It was. Not the most creative.
One thing, Heavy, you have a comment on that?
This is where I started watching at a truck stop, and I get a kick out of the reactions from some of these truck drivers. I have yet to meet an intelligent wrestling fan there. And when Lana came out, the collective "damn" in the room was pretty funny. Absolutely hilarious.
And what did the truckers think of the Putin bit and the him over the White House and the British Parliament?
I heard a lot of political comments for a brief period of it, kind of the Southern mentality. I think I was in Virginia that last night. So I got some of that, but then they were all just kind of like talking about Lana.
So she's over based on other criteria. Okay, cool. Well, I kind of wondered about gender in that. I thought, boy, how tough was it for Jinder to have to put on the Union Jack? I don't know. Maybe the Indian guys are over it by now, but I just thought that was kind of an egregious FU. Wayne, any comment on that?
Not really. I don't see. I don't think there was anything behind that.
All righty. It was a little bit odd, too, that, you know, 3MB are supposed to be heels, and, of course, Rusev's the big monster heel they're pushing now, and so it was almost like 3MB were faces for the night. And I guess that's okay, because their real role is jobbers, not exactly heels. Okay, well, let's go on to the next segment. Okay, well, the next segment in Raw was the next Beat the Clock match, which was RVD versus ADR. Personally, that was a lot better than I thought. Given RVD's performance the last couple of weeks, I didn't expect much. It worked out better than I thought. Not to say it was great, but wasn't as bad as I thought. There were a couple of funny bits by the commentators, I thought. Lawler put in the middle of that, come to my home state of Tennessee and see the shed where Al Gore invented the internet. I thought that was bizarre. It was a funny line, but it was hard to see how that fit in with the show. RVD had a lot of good legwork, you know, kind of vintage RVD stuff. A lot of rolls, a lot of somersaults. That match was all about kicks to the head by both men. And then in the end, after quite a bit of striking and fairly impressive antics in the ring, it ended with RVD rolling up ADR very unconvincingly, I thought. Anyway, he wanted it 4:15, beating Big E's time, so... You know, now he's the man. Chevy, what did you think of that match?
That's some of the strengths of whenever you have a match that's under 5 minutes, is you can really script out everything that's going to come out, and the wrestlers aren't in the ring trying to improvise. They don't have to call out their moves because they know exactly what's going to happen. And so and not to mention Del Rio is just a really good ring worker who doesn't get any credit.
Yeah, he was good. And talking about calling out the moves, it was funny. They had a real tight close-up on RVD's face when he was down underneath ADR, and he was clearly calling the match with ADR, and then he put his hand in front of his mouth so the camera couldn't see it. It was very like the NFL when they're calling plays in. It's kind of funny. Wayne, what did you think of that live?
Don't like RVD. I think he's well past his sell-by date, so I really weren't interested. My brain actually wandered off during the match. and I was just got to the point where it hurts me to agree with Chevy again. Alberto Del Rey, I'm not a massive mark for him and that, but when his contract's up, I think that's actually going to be a loss to the company and that personally. I think he's actually just a solid person that can dabble with the top tier, can, you know, sit nicely sort of upper mid tier. And yeah, I just totally lost track of the match. That's what RVD does for me, to be honest.
ADR, in my opinion, can cut a pretty good heel promo as well. He can kind of naturally fit in with the heel character a lot better than many of the talent they've got. I agree. I think it's going to be a loss when he goes. Heavy, your comments?
I'm really upset that RVD didn't end at 420. I don't care that it's PG. But I seriously
should have announced it. Yeah.
I seriously made the tweet. I just happened to look at it. I was like, oh, you know, 5 minutes and I think it was 2 seconds. I'm like, he could get this to where it's 420. That would be hilarious. And I put out a tweet about it. I think like a minute later, he did the pin. And I'm like, 5 seconds short? Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's great. Okay, next segment was Cena cutting a promo with the Usos. I thought it was very forgettable. Chevy?
Next.
Wayne?
Well, I've already had my rant about it. I hated it. I thought it was cheesy and pathetic, and just literally everyone in the crowd just sat there and thought, what the fuck are they doing where they're bobbing up and down, beating their chest like morons?
Heavy? Lose heavy set?
Hold on. No, I'm here. What was okay. this match? I forget.
This was just a promo with Cena with the Usos saying he's going to have the Usos in his corner so that the Wyatt family can't kill him.
I'm not going to hate on this like everybody else, but the only thing that I kind of don't like of Cena being with the Usos, pairing himself with the Usos, is there was once a tag team that he did the same thing with. They were called Crime Time. You see how well that worked.
Yeah.
End.
Okay, and then the next thing up was Evolution cut a promo on The Shield. Triple H told Batista, you know, finish it with Seth Rollins, make sure he doesn't make it to Payback. And then they cut to a quick advertisement for main event tomorrow, Cesaro versus Mark Henry, which I would really like to see that match. This, you know, that's the kind of thing where I'm sure they'll have Cesaro pick up Mark Henry, maybe swing him or carry him around the ring or throw over the top rope or some inhuman feat of strength. And then the next matchup is The Shield. Shield music hits. Rollins comes down the steps as usual through the crowd. No other Shield members are present. Everyone else is banned from ringside, so it's, you know, just going to be Batista and Seth. But then Triple H's music hits. He comes down the ramp. He says he's made himself the special guest ring announcer. Nice heel move. He announces then that Randy Orton's going to be the special guest timekeeper. So clearly the fix is in and Rollins is going to go down, right? Batista comes out as the opponent. He walks to the rings, which is good because he's not gassed by the time he gets there. Cole says, this is an execution. And JBL says, I like it. I thought that was kind of funny. But then Seth Rollins announces that Dean and Roman are going to be the special guest commentators. This makes Triple H go ballistic, but he lets it happen. Dean tells JBL it's okay to leave if he doesn't want to be outshined on the mic. I thought that was a nice crack. Anyway, the match went on for a while. Nothing terribly exciting at first. The crowd was pretty muted, I thought, during the first part of that match. Most of the focus was on the non-combatants on the outside of the ring. You know, when are they going to interfere? When's the shit going to hit the fan? Because you just know that's going to happen. Eventually, Batista delivered an incredible kind of point-of-the-elbow clothesline, which flipped Seth all the way around. They replayed that a couple times. Orton interfered on the apron. That got Roman and Dean up and walk into the ring, and all of a sudden, you know, it's on. Triple H interferes, knocks Seth off the top rope onto the ring. Dean attacks Triple H. Orton attacks Dean from behind. Dean goes over the German announce table. See, I knew that was going to come into play. Orton hits Roman with a chair. It's all chaos outside the ring. The crowd chants, this is awesome. Triple H hits Seth, causing a DQ. So that's kind of the rundown. Chevy, what'd you think of that match?
Actually, the one thing that stuck out to me is I thought Dean Ambrose did a really good job at the booth, and Roman Reigns sat there quietly and said two rehearsed things.
Yeah, I thought Dean was excellent in that commentator role.
He does a lot better job of putting over his teammates than the booth ever did.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, that's not a very high bar to get over. Any other comments on the match?
It was pretty good. There was a little too much focus on what was going outside of the ring, and I feel like it took away from Seth Rollins' chance to shine by himself.
Yeah, my sense of it was the crowd, like I said, was kind of muted at the beginning, but then once the outside stuff started happening, the crowd ramped up really fast and really got into it. At least that's how it came across on TV. Wayne, you were there. What did you think?
The crowd were really up for it all match, what I felt and that. I was just watching like Triple H and that on the outside interact with like children and that he was standing there. He was proper like turning around giving them aggro and stuff. I just thought that was brilliant. I thought once that all started kicking off on the outside, that really got the crowd going, really enjoyed it. But it's just getting a general gripe, and that happened again with the main event. It's been happening a long time now. This overuse of disqualification, so they don't put anyone down before like a big pay-per-view match. It's all right, we'll just get them both disqualified or whatever, and then they'll have a massive brawl. It's getting a bit too overused, and then twice in one night as well. That is the only gripe of that match. I thought the action was brilliant, but I had enough of all this disqualification.
Abby, your thoughts?
I agree with the whole Dean Ambrose commentary. There's something that I've said, and I know a couple people have said for quite some time, is Dean Ambrose is kind of a cross between Brian Pillman and Heath Ledger's The Joker. And I thought on commentary, it shined. And I feel like I haven't seen that in quite some time with Dean. And that's probably one of the biggest things that I took from the particular match. I mean, granted, it's a lot of things are set in stone with this particular match, but just, that's the best positivity I can pull from it.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with the match, but like everyone else, I love Dean on the mic. Okay, next match, Paige versus Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox starts with a wicked boot to the face, just brutal. At least it looked brutal on TV. But this was somewhat offset, in my opinion, by her screeching all the time. Fox is just screeching left and right all the time, really irritating. I thought she was surprisingly strong. She really manhandled Paige with backbreakers and driving her into the corner and stuff. A couple more boots to the face. Paige goes limp. Fox drags her to the center of the ring, which unfortunately was ruined because Paige is paddling her feet to help her get her to the middle of the ring when she's supposed to be knocked out, and pins her. Fox goes outside, grabs Lawler's crown, does a bunch of showboating on the climbing up on the security rail with the crown, grabs a fan's Coke, drinks a little bit of it, and then douses herself with the Coke. That whole outside the ring thing I thought was pretty bizarre. Chevy, your thoughts on that match?
I think they should have saved the grabbing the crown thing for another week, because especially being in England, it was a really good chance for Alicia to get the heel heat. But I think people wanted to see her put another hat on because she looked so good doing it last week. And so the English people really weren't booing like they should have. They should have had Alicia Fox kind of like sneak away from the ring, maybe try to grab the title or something.
Okay. Wayne?
Again, agree with Chevy. I think the problem was that the crowd, and I know I did, actually really enjoyed when she started wearing the crown, crawling down the banister and that, and she grabbed that soda from that child, actually like then tipped all over her face and spat it out and kept dropping the crown and everything. I think that got the wrong reaction. That was a smarky crowd, and she actually got cheered for it and everything. But I just still can't believe what happened. That was the match, and everyone was really up for it because obviously it was Paige, it was the UK, and just then suddenly it was like the hand down. It was like a very mini watered down version of the Undertaker at WrestleMania. It was just like the crowd just stood there and go, really? They've let Alicia Fox win? And
yeah, I was surprised too. I thought Paige was clearly going to go over. I mean, it is the UK. How can that not happen?
But that's also a Vince trick in a way. If it's your birthday or it's your home show, chances are you're going to lose. And just but didn't see it though. I thought it was all about. And I think they're starting to not build Paige up right. They've had her looking weak every week. Yes, she's been getting wins and stuff until this week, but they're just. I don't know where they're going to go with it unless, you know, because they're not building her up now. They're just making her look weak and doing one move and winning. I can't see, you know, unless I thought they'd have sort of made her look gradually more competent by now. That was all.
They're trying to build up the whole division. And I actually think Alicia Fox is looking really strong right now. And I think it'll be good. And I think, I mean, you could be looking at the end of the year. You could have Summer Rae, Paige, Alicia Fox, AJ Lee, Emma, for those people who are into her. And I think it would be the strongest the Divas division's looked in a while.
Have you set?
Unfortunately, I didn't see the from here on out of Raw because while everybody was watching this Divas match, I was on the phone with a particular female of ROH. So definitely much better in my case.
Yeah. Care to share any details of that?
All I will say is that we'll be available by the end of this week. I'm hoping Thursday, because this week on the Ohio Indie Report, I will be previewing the JT Lightning Invitational Tournament, which is this Friday and Saturday, a 2-day tournament and divided up into 3 brackets. The final match is a triple threat match, and I have one person from each bracket who's wrestling in each bracket talking about the bracket they're in. That particular ROH female is one. Working on interview tonight for another part, and last but not least, tomorrow night I have a final ROH roster member too.
Very cool. And where can people hear all this great stuff? What podcast would that be on?
That would be Kayfabe Sports Radio. Well, the Ohio Indie Report on Kayfabe Sports Radio. www. Got to put the www for right now. I'm still trying to get that fixed. kayfabesports.com.
Awesome. Look forward to hearing that. Okay, next match. Mark Henry versus Dolph Ziggler in another Beat the Clock match. I was really looking forward to that. I haven't seen either of those guys in a while, and I'm a total Dolph Ziggler mark. I thought Mark Henry looked a little lighter and a little quicker than usual. He was billed at 400 pounds, which I think is a little less than they normally bill him at. Anyway, he squashed Ziggler for a while. Then Ziggler hits a couple of drop kicks. And then Mark Henry catches Ziggler in midair, slams him. Ziggler miraculously kicks out. Mark Henry inexplicably dawdles rather than, you know, get back on him. Ziggler hits the zigzag but runs out of time. So that's the end of the Beat the Clock matches. Chevy, what'd you think of that one?
Yeah, it seemed like they had too much time left on the clock for the rehearsed ending. So they had to kind of stall before they started the move. And then after the zigzag was hit, Dolph Ziggler has still had to lay on the ground for like 8 seconds before going for the cover.
Yeah, that was my sense of it too. There were these sort of inexplicable stalls here and there, like they were trying to get the time back on track. Wayne, what do you think?
Yeah, the whole match felt clunky as well. Totally agree. There was a lot of dodgy famouser as well noticed. But no, I'm sort of, you know, if that was executed right, I think that was quite a clever way to finish the 3 matches for the evening.
And Heavy, I know you didn't see any of the rest of Raw. Did you want to comment at all on Mark Henry and Ziggler?
It's sad that I didn't get a chance to watch this. It's also one of my favorites, and I've always liked to see him, especially the Beat the Clock Challenge, just how much he can do in one match. And
could you imagine him and Cesaro in some sort of short time limit match? I mean, that would be freaking spectacular.
Give it time, and then one day we will get it, and it will be fantastic.
Awesome. Okay, so at this point now, RVD is the number one contender for the IC spot. He comes out on the ramp, presumably celebrating immediately before he can even get going. Bad news, Barrett clocks him from behind with the bullhammer. Bad news, then cuts a promo about Greenwich Mean Time, of all things. And granted, the O2 Arena is right near the Royal Observatory. Sorry, but I just thought that might have been a little too much of an in-joke for the London crowd, and not sure how well that translated outside. Chevy?
He was absolute stud on the mic, which isn't saying much considering that he's been a stud on the mic ever since WrestleMania. But he took it up as much as he could to the next level for England, and it feels like he's going to have to flip face or go tweener soon, because, and this isn't just an English thing, he's just getting way too much pops for the heel character he's supposed to be portraying.
Yeah, he's so entertaining. Wayne?
Love that he goes, the world goes by Greenwich Mean Time. That just, oh, that had me in tears. But no, he is, something's going to have to give with Barrett, because he's just, there's too much of this at the moment. I don't know if it's the way that everyone is, that everyone just likes heels and everything, but it's, the lines in WWE at the moment are so blurred. People aren't doing their jobs. Heels are getting pops and faces are getting booed. That's totally... And Barrett is at the forefront of all this, and it's making for some messy stories, if you know what I mean by that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Barrett is the same as Bray Wyatt in that he's supposed to be a heel, but he doesn't really do anything very dastardly, so you got to wonder. Okay, next segment. Have you said any comments on that?
Nope.
The one thing about Bad News Barrett is he kind of reminds me of when Stone Cold Steve Austin first came into the WWE. Not that I think Wade Barrett's going to be the next Stone Cold Steve Austin, but when Steve Austin was first in there, he was a heel, but he was just so good at what he was doing that you couldn't help but cheer for him.
Can we talk about one thing? Can we talk about how awesome it is that they have the Bad News Barrett shirt now? I've seen it on shop over the weekend. I almost ordered it, but I had to order the Jack Swagger shirt, which was going on sale and going off the store, and I hadn't had one yet. I'm happy. I'm so happy that I have a Bad News Barrett shirt, because I've been saying it for ever since you start getting more and more of a push, especially around WrestleMania. I'm like, we need a Bad News Barrett shirt.
Well, I'm sure he's happy, because obviously that's more money for him too.
I mean, he's one of my underdog favorites, and I feel like his first shirt that he had before he got injured with the anchor on it, I love that. I bought that when it came out. Then they had the Barrett Barrage one, which was absolutely ugly. And sometimes it's cool to have a good-looking shirt. I think if you have a bad-looking shirt, that could affect a lot of things, or especially if you're struggling like he was for a while. So why does anybody want to root for you or buy your shirt? Now they have a reason to root for you, and they have a shirt that I'm guessing is might be popular. I know I heard that it was starting to sell out on Raw, and they had to get more shirts in as quick as they could. So I love it.
It sold out before the show started, from what I heard.
I think I had heard that, and either they were getting more shirts in for other showings, other days or whatever, or something. But I mean, obviously it's going to be a big hit over there. But I mean, hey, hell, what a way to debut it the week that they're going to England.
Well, I certainly agree with Chevy that it's a bit like Steve Austin, in that here's a guy who had kind of a bad gimmick before and nobody cared about, and boy, you change the gimmick a little bit, and holy cow, did he go over. I mean, just what a difference.
Did they have the bit on the on the actual finished version where Stephanie used a little video of Bad News Barrett on her?
Yeah,
prime?
They had that.
Again, I think that sort of... That was, I liked the use of it, but I don't think that helps with trying to get him over as a heel either, because that's sort of like a light-hearted use of him.
Yeah, that's the thing. These so-called heels are getting over so much on the mic. I don't know, maybe it's a throwback to Attitude Era, which was so successful that they're trying to get that lightning back in the bottle. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. Okay, next segment was Adam Rose. And my first impression of this was, gee, I didn't realize he was doing a gay gimmick. I don't know if I missed that before or what, but he was really kind of affecting a lisp in his speech that I had never been aware of before. Anyway, Zeb cuts a promo on Adam Rose. I thought he was being a great asshole heel. Zeb was in fine fettle, I thought, on the mic. He got all worked up, challenged him to a fight, you know, right here, right now in the ring. Lawler had a great comment as Zeb's taken off the vest. He says, look at the abs on Zeb. His great fat belly sticking out. Anyway, of course, Swagger's there and ambushes Rose. The crowd starts chanting, you're a lemon. Rose gets up and clocks Swagger. Chevy, what'd you think of that segment?
It was Adam Rose's best segment. It's still just a little awkward that he hasn't wrestled yet. And it seems to be a lot bigger live than it is on TV.
And I must say, all the people dancing with him have absolutely no rhythm. You think they get that a little bit together? I mean, it's still fun and goofy and silly, but my goodness, I've never seen a less coordinated group of dancers in my life. Wayne?
I can't believe, because everyone kept saying that all the other segments the last 2 or 3 weeks have been so dead and I've had to put fake noises in on the shows and stuff just to make it look over. He was over as anything, and that those chants lasted for the rest of the night through the main event to the point where they even dragged him back out in the post-show to, you know, get a bit more. I just couldn't believe it. But is it down to the gimmick or is it just down to the crowd? Because halfway through that promo, you got the crowd doing the Real Americans theme really loud. So that just shoot, if you threw anything in there, the crowd were going to chant it anyway.
Interesting. Well, the crowd definitely came through loud and clear over the TV. You knew the crowd was totally fired up. In fact, I was surprised. You know, here we're 3 hours into Raw almost, and the crowd's probably more on fire now than they were at the beginning. Heavy, you got any comments about Adam Rose and Zeb Coulter?
I don't care for Adam Rose, but of course Adam Rose was over. It was England. You guys are crazy. If it wasn't for England and Europe and international fans, the night after WrestleMania now would just be a normal everyday Raw. It wouldn't have anything special, wouldn't have that impact. So, of course, a lot of the British fans. I think the British crowd is one of my favorite crowds in all of wrestling. I think they're up there with Japan. And definitely a conversation of who has the better wrestling appreciative crowd. So they know Adam Rose. They knew him from when he was on NXT. Most of them do. So there's going to be a lot of passion behind it, a lot of rooting for him. So, of course, it's not going to get as well over here. And that's why there was the noise that everything probably was actually added. But I would, England, it's everything that we do times a million.
Okay, so the main event is Harper versus Cena. Cena has the Usos watching his back. Gets a big boot from Harper to Cena's face. Harper picks up Cena. It looks like he's going to go for a backdrop. Instead, he spins him forward and drops him face first, which I thought was a really nice move, unusual move. Harper went on to bust out several more, surprisingly for him, athletic moves. I thought it was a real showcase for Harper's to shine. Lawler talked about how dirty and smelly Harper is. He had a good line, I thought. He says, I'll bet his roll-on has rolled off. The crowd was really fired up. They were singing Adam Rose's song, obviously left over from the last segment. A lot of good action by both men. I got to hand it to both of them. You know, Cena and Harper made that really work, I thought. There was a melee in the ring, of course, eventually, which quickly cleared. The crowd chanted, this is awesome. Rowan attacks Cena, resulting in a DQ, of course. Lawler says, this guy's a freak show without a tent. Thought that was pretty funny as well. And then the entire crowd starts singing. He's got the whole world in his hands. Bray grabs Cena on the stage, kisses him on the forehead, and then gives him his sister Abigail on the stage. I thought that was a great ending. Chevy?
The one thing about them doing the Adam Rose thing is that was actually, because then it starts to feel like they're trying to hijack the match, and I don't think they actually were. They're chanting to the wrestlers, and Cena and Harper were putting on a pretty good match for everybody.
Yeah, it was a good match. My sense of it was they were still just jacked over the Adam Rose thing. But Wayne, you were there. How'd it go for you?
Really enjoyed the match. Like I said, that Adam Rose, just that was for the rest of the night then, was just solid Adam Rose, like I said, to the point where they could drag him back after the show. Like I said, really enjoyed the match, just frustrated by the disqualification again, which I think's becoming all too common.
Yeah, what'd you think of the ending there when Bray's got him on stage and gives him a kiss on the forehead and then the Sister Abigail on the steel stage? What'd you think of that?
Think that's a kiss of death to Bray winning in a couple of weeks' time. Because usually if someone does like a fictional, this is what could happen at the pay-per-view, you can guarantee that doesn't happen at the pay-per-view.
Okay. Heavy?
I got nothing.
Alrighty, well, thus concludes our segment talking about Raw. So let's move on down the agenda. This segment's called Character in the Details, about Dean Ambrose. You know, he's had a bunch of different roles, of course, in the indies coming up. Moxley, who's in NXT, in the Shield, U.S. title holder. Anybody have any thoughts about Dean Ambrose's career and where he's at now and where he's going? Anything on that, Chevy?
I still think he's a star for the top. It's just a little confusing because recently they've had him change his moveset to just slapping people like a girl repetitively, and it's not very macho and it's not getting him over.
Okay. Wayne, your thoughts on Dean?
I just find him as a person incredibly easy to watch and listen to. Even like when Chevy says he slapped him like a girl, I don't know, something. Some people just have that ability to make you watch them and listen to them, and he's definitely got it. It's like even when I saw some early spots of him with another wrestling promotion and that, where he has the old hacksaw stunt. And it looks like he's having his head hacksawed open. And I saw the interview about it afterwards. And they were like, were you having your head hacksawed open? He goes, of course I fucking wasn't. He goes, do you think I'd be here talking to you now if that was the case? He goes, it was purely, you know, a rubber blade. And that was just pushing the fake blood around on my head that was there and making it look like. It's just even when he speaks like in interviews, he's just got that ability to make you watch him. I just think it's down to him how far he goes, really. In the business.
Yeah, I think especially after that commentary segment last night, he has a very long future on the microphone there if he chooses to go that route. Heavy, what do you think of Dean Ambrose?
Without a doubt, last week when we talked about the impact of CM Punk, I believe Dean Ambrose is a guy that has followed in that path, meaning an unconventional indie guy who comes up and just shows the company that there are indie guys out there that are amazing, whether it be, you know, starting from Punk, Brian, Cesaro, and some of the people they have down in NXT. And Ambrose is one of those guys that they picked up. John Moxley, as he was called in the indies, he's everything he was in the indies times a million now. And I love seeing what he has done. I want to see more. I would love to see some more time down the road if Solomon Crowe gets called up. I want to see them two team back up because they were part of the Switchblade conspiracy. They were one of the top tag teams for quite some time. And these were also CZW guys. And a lot of people within wrestling, a lot of wrestling fans look down on CZW. I think some of it look at it as a really bad version of ECW. It's too bloody. It's too gory. It's too this. It's too that. Here is Dean Ambrose, one of the first guys from CZW to make it and show that, hey, just because we do all this doesn't mean that we are less up because of it. We actually have some great-ass wrestlers, and I love what he's doing. I love his past, and I can't wait to see what he can do. There was a conversation last year on the Impact Players of who was the leader of the Shield, and I was a strong advocate that there was no leader. But I agree with why anybody could say that he was the leader, because he had it on the mic, he had it in the ring, and his future is so bright. And it's going back to what I said earlier in this episode of he is a cross between the Heath Ledger's Joker and Brian Pillman. And when he has a chance to be a singles competitor and he's going to get to build one-on-one feuds with people, and I'm guessing he's going to stay a heel for at least a little bit of time, when the Shield breaks up, that I think it's going to be amazing, and I cannot wait.
Awesome.
I was going to say, because it's dropped off on Dean Ambrose at the moment, isn't it? Because obviously Reigns is getting the biggest push, but Reigns is getting the mic time, because he's the natural face to put him across in the faction. Dean Ambrose is now being sort of pushed a bit behind to where he was because he's a natural heel. So I'm sort of looking forward to them going their own way so you can get back more Dean Ambrose where he deserves at the front and gets some solo time.
And I think it was because, I mean, granted, he's like that natural heel and everybody, and now that they're face, you have Rollins being more the face, but I think it was how they debuted, like, he was just the one that was ready. So you're going to put him out there on the mic more, and you're going to do stuff with him that way. And Rollins and Reigns have had time to get better. Okay, now that they're faces, that's where the other two can shine. And you can put Dean Ambrose kind of on the back burner, but like set him back just a little bit. But it's actually, I think, really amazing how far Rollins and Reigns have come within the past year, being on the mic and everything. And I think the Shield's debut was probably one of the best random debuts that we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it seems to me it's pretty remarkable how well developed Seth and Roman, Seth more than Roman, but both of them just in the last 3 months or so, I think they've really put the shine on them and really elevated them in their apparent skill sets, both on the mic and in the ring. I'm sorry, Wayne?
I just find it hard to believe, looking back, that there was comparisons made between them and Aces and Eights at the time. It just makes it look like a joke now with what happened to Aces and Eights and how far the Shield have come. Just Shield are just massive at the moment because they've got obviously the right mix of promo ability, ring ability, and bad boy, you know, the bad boyness that everyone likes and stuff, the heelishness about them that everyone can sort of get behind. They're just the absolute full package at the moment that, you know, WWE really need to get behind and push.
Well, you know what the biggest difference between Aces and Eights and the Shield were? Aces and Eights was on TNA. That's going to be your biggest difference of why they've both gone in different directions. I think if the Shield were on TNA, it would be the same thing, and it would be WWE taking Aces and Eights and making them something huge. It's like, I think WWE always has a better knowing of what they're going to do in the future, even if they don't actually know. They have the tools, they have a better view for talent, but when you look at Aces and Eights and two of your members, I always question, of Briscoe and Bischoff. So, yeah.
I think WWE can gauge when something's not working, and they quickly halt it, even if that embarrassingly halts itself. Where TNA will just, they seem to, if there's a problem, they seem to run at it twice as hard.
Alrighty. Well, let's wrap up the Dean Ambrose segment back in order here. And this is Chevy's segment, Judgment. Tell us about the unified title, the history. Should they be resplit? If so, when's it going to be split? What's your call on this whole unified heavyweight title thing, Chevy?
Well, I mean, people should know the history because it was only unified in December when Randy Orton beat John Cena in a match that everyone thought was going to have a shady ending, but was actually clean. And I think a lot of people have been confused because they've still been carrying around the two belts. And it seems to me like that's because WWE's not sure if they really want to commit to this or not and go down to one belt. I think they want to leave the door open to split the belts again. And at least to me, and we talked about this earlier, it seems like on June 2nd, the Raw after Payback, Daniel Bryan's going to be stripped of the title, partly just so they can let Daniel Bryan heal and not have to worry about coming back before SummerSlam. RMH, do you have any thoughts about what's going on with it?
I have always maintained that they're going to resplit because this whole business of not having a unified belt, you know, carrying around the two straps, that has to be significant. It's not an oversight. It's certainly an organization with the budget and attention to detail of the WWE has a reason for everything, especially something like that that goes on for months. I don't know where they're headed with it, but and who's going to get what, but I'm quite sure they're going to resplit. Wayne, what do you think? Wayne?
Sorry, I've done a mute effort.
Dumbass.
what I was saying, so well put while I was muted, was I think they should re-split because I don't think there's enough of an upper tier to have just the WWE Championship and no upper mid-card. I think there's too big a leap from everyone in the mid-card to take that leap up, where the world heavy, the world title was that sort of middle ground so you could progress your way up and everything. I just think there's too much of a leap at the moment.
Heavy?
I think WWE doesn't exactly know what they're going to do, but I have a feeling it's basically for one of two reasons of why everything's going the way it is. They want to leave themselves an out just in case they do want to resplit them and have them go their separate way. But at the same time, I look at it as, okay, people are like, a lot of people say like, oh, they should have one belt. Well, A, it's always cooler to carry around two belts. B, they just changed the WWE Championship last year, and I do not see them changing it again within a short amount of time because they like to sell the belts as merchandise. And the third thing is, I think it's because Big Gold has such a big history that they don't want to just get rid of it just yet. It's a belt that was in NWA, it was a belt that was in WCW, and now has had its run in WWE. So I see them, like I said, it's kind of like we're going to keep the two for the exit strategy just in case we do want to go down that road again, because there's been a lot of belts that have, all right, we're going to get rid of it. You know what? We're going to bring it back. I think the
World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, yeah. The World Heavyweight Championship was one of them. There was a bunch that when they went through the combining phase of absorbing belts. And I want to say didn't the Intercontinental belt disappear for a little while, or was
the no. U.S. one disappeared.
Yeah, it whenever the WCW one.
There was a TV title. There's been a lot of straps.
Well, they even had the European title when it was first came about. Then it was kind of stopped defending. They didn't really use it anymore. And then out of nowhere, they started using it again. So they like to keep themselves something just in case they want to go back down that way. And it's by history, that's what they do. But like I said, at the same time, WWE Championship just changed, and Big Gold has great history.
The real world's champion. Remember that? Bobby Heenan introducing Ric Flair in, I think it was 91?
Yeah. I've actually went back and watched that a bunch of times. There's isn't there two clips? There's one that I remember was him and Monsoon. And Monsoon playing it off only like he can of like, you know, that's not Hogan's belt. I know Hogan's belt. That's not it. Oh, such a classic moment. Gotta love Heenan.
Heenan's awesome. All right. Let's move on to our next segment, Best of the Week. I'm going to say for me, the Best of the Week was Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. That is just such a great promotion. It's available easily to people in the U.S. mostly, if you're on DirecTV anyway, or Dish Network or cable. Lots of good matches, lots of kind of the right mix of old school and new school stuff. Some people you're familiar with, and some you're not. Matt Stryker was in a short match, and everybody else is probably people you don't know unless you watch the indies. But great commentary, just definitely best of the week again for me. Chevy, what's your best of the week?
My best of the week, and I'm probably going to steal Wayne's thunder here, but I watched the 20-minute video of the After Raw show, and it had me laughing pretty hard.
Where'd you get a hold of that, Chevy?
It's on YouTube. Daily Wrestling News has one of their news stories, talks about it, and has three different links to YouTube videos of it. People who were on their cell phones recording.
Cool. I will definitely check it out. It sounds like a ball.
Wayne? Definitely watch it before it gets pulled.
Okay.
So say, I'll definitely double up with that. That was just awesome. The crowd with the John Cena shoe bit hat, like I said, had me in tears. Triple H when he done the British accent, taking the piss out of hygiene and everything. Just everything about it was just fantastic. It was actually, I think, better than anything that was on the show. But, you know, that's just the way it works out. When there's no pressure, you can break kayfabe or whatever, and you can just sort of open up for half an hour. That's probably why you get so much gold. And they've recently released the DVD of it.
That's awesome. Heavy, what's your best of the week?
I can't even think of a best of the week.
That lady you called?
No, that'll be part of my for next week when I can actually talk about the tournament and the weekend two-day wrestling. Oh, which I could kind of talk about that because that is something that I'm completely looking forward to. I'm trying to pull up a poster of it, but some of the bigger names that will be there is one being Buff Bagwell. He is part of the tournament. And then in day two, it's going to be Johnny Gargano versus Chris Sabin, a first time ever match. And I'm hearing this could possibly lead to a tag team match at their next event with the Motor City Machine Guns and another team, but I'm not going to get into it until they actually announce it. So yeah, it's, there's a bunch of other names that'll be there, like Sanjay Dutt too. And if anybody who actually watched Wrestling Society X and Dog Matt Cross, Josh Prohibition, that's just off the top of my head because I can't pull up a freaking flyer just yet. But yeah, that will be mine for next week. Talking to the particular lady was another one. I actually did sit down and watch every episode of Slam City, seeing how I've been making fake spoilers for it for the past couple months. And I was very upset that during the CM Punk episode, he didn't just quit halfway through the episode. So.
Okay, cool, Abby. Thanks. All right, our next segment is called What's On? I talked a little bit about Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. There's another promotion that I'm looking forward to watching, but it hasn't aired yet. They air kind of infrequently. I was just looking at my DVR, and that one's not going to record until this week, so hopefully next week I'll be able to report on that. In terms of what I'm watching on the network, I finally watched the new Ultimate Warrior tribute that the WWE did, which I was conflicted on. I thought it was really nice and well done, especially given the timeline they had to work with. But at the same time, it made me mad that they put out the prior one that just absolutely buried him. And then they put out this one that absolutely praises him. And I think, well, what are you guys? Are you Jekyll and Hyde? Are you sincere in the moment both times when you do it? Is this just a play to make money? I just didn't know what to think that way. But the product itself was good. I find that I don't watch the network very much. I only apparently am willing to spend, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 hours a week watching wrestling. I listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff, and I've got a real job and a real life. And I don't know. It's still worth it for $10 a month for what I do get, especially with things like WrestleMania. But I just don't spend very many hours watching the network. Go ahead, Heavy.
I want to jump in and talk about talking about Ultimate Warrior and what WWE has done with, all right, we're going to put out this burying him, and now they've put out not only just the DVD that he helped put out right before he died and everything afterwards completely praising him. When the weekend review comes back, I have a call that I was going to make the week that was skipped. And I talk about the Warrior and my reaction on everything, because there's a few things that a lot of people didn't talk about. And I'm actually a person, I like the fact that they did put out something that completely buried him and something that completely praised him, because he's human. WWE many times will put out DVDs and completely praise people, and they won't tell you any type of bad thing they've ever done or bad view that anybody's ever had. But Ultimate Warrior is going to be the first, and I'm going to guess only, person to have a DVD that just completely buries him, and then another DVD that completely praises him, and the special that completely praised him. And it's, to me, that's actually kind of cool. It lets you create your own judgment. What do you think? What WWE did was, you know, were they lying? Was it this? Was it that? Was it politics? Either the DVD, I think it was the DVD, they played clips of comments that people said, and everybody that was shown wasn't in the new one. Like, I think Tommy Dreamer was one that I know said some things. I think Hogan. I mean, there was some people in general where they showed clips that things that people said, and they were just kind of like, these are the bad things we said, but these the same people weren't on the new one. I know Heenan was one of them. That's a few that I think those two really didn't like each other. But like I said, I just think that's actually pretty cool that Warrior's going to have that.
Yeah, you know,
person in history to have that.
And talking about he's human and he's got his good and bad sides, what neither DVD has brought up is his extensive YouTube rant video collections where he excoriates a number of groups of people in very unpopular ways. So, yeah, he was a complex person, and there's plenty of hot material you can find on YouTube authored by him. Chevy. What's on? What are you watching?
The only thing I saw was NXT last week. I've been pretty busy with finals.
Okay, any comment on the NXT that you watched?
Tyler Breeze is really starting to come in on his own. He was a character I originally buried, and I'm kind of coming around to him, just like I'm kind of starting to come around to Rusev and not just instantly burying the guy.
Okay, Wayne, what are you watching?
The two shows that really enjoyed this week were, again, Countdown. That's, you know, a great show. The 10 best craziest ladder matches. Great fun. Great sort of, you know, memories brought back up. Interesting. Didn't quite realise. I was of the illusion that the Razor Ramon Shawn Michaels was one of the first ladder matches. Didn't realise that was like Bret Hart's idea to bring it over. And set up, and he and Sean had a match, and, you know, if that was on a bigger stage, that was probably the match we'd all talk about rather than the Ramon Shawn Michaels match. Didn't realise that, so that was interesting. And also caught Edge Beyond the Ring. Never, you know, was a massive Edge fan, appreciated what he'd done. I know this series is designed for you to, like, you know, go away thinking someone's brilliant, and that really has, you know, got me reinterested in going back and watching some old Edge stuff. I thought that was really tastefully done and everything. And just, you know, really happy to see that he's, you know, not that bothered about retiring. He said he was only a year away from it. And, you know, because of his original neck injury and that, he'd already sort of set up a retreat away in the mountains where he sort of got away with everything. And, you know, that was just really nice to see sort of a, yes, it was, you know, cut short his career, but, you know, that they weren't that affected by it.
You know, I still love going back and watching on YouTube his retirement speech. It's, I don't know, 9 or 12 minutes. Thought it was fantastic. Heavy, what are you watching?
Like I said, I watched the episode of Slam City. And I watched the countdown, too. I had completely forgot about that. And Wayne, you must not own any Brett DVDs because I've heard that in one of his DVDs. I can't remember which one. It might have been in the Brett versus Sean DVD, which that's one of my favorites. Actually, is that one on the network or no?
Yep, that's on the network. I'm going to catch that next.
Because I think it's mentioned because
he looked fairly bitter on Countdown, didn't he, when he was bringing it up. He looked really pissed off.
I think it was the same clip. I think it was the same clip of him saying, he believed, you know, Sean kind of stole it from him and blah, blah, blah. Granted, I love Brett. Brett's one of my, actually Brett and Sean are my top two favorites of all time. But when Brett talks, he doesn't hold anything back and he does kind of sound bitter all the time. So, I mean, that is what it is. But actually, I did know that I would love to find it. But I remember when I was growing up, I used to always go to the video store and always look at the wrestling VHS, even if I didn't rent them. And I remember there was a VHS that had that ladder match on it. And even I was like, oh, that must have been the first ladder match. So whenever they talked about it, I was like, yeah, I knew that. Anybody else didn't know that? Really? Just me? So that's just crazy.
All right. Well, we've gone through all our segments. We're to our last bit, free for all. Just whatever anybody wants to talk about that comes to mind. I'd like to talk about the stock crash in WWE. I think it was Friday. Had a tremendous drop in value. I think it's been reported that Vince has lost on paper $340 million. Now there's a second group that is a law office. There's a website they have where you can join a class action lawsuit that is claiming that this crash is a result of the stock price being overinflated by false statements made by WWE management that got it juiced up too high in the first place. That's about it for me. Anybody have any comments on the stock situation? Chevy?
Well, I think it's just a little scary for WWE because between this and the network, it's clear that potential or people are starting to lose faith in the management of the McMahons.
Yeah, I think they're clearly losing faith in the projected profitability that, you know, that their business model maybe is not going to make it a $30 stock anytime soon. Wayne, any comment on the stock?
Did any of you see what Foley said about it literally last night?
No, I did not.
I can't take comments like this seriously when Foley goes, the investors are being put off by Stephanie and Triple H's antics on screen.
Oh, for God's sake.
And he's like, because they don't... He goes, I know Stephanie's a lovely person in real life, but because of her on-screen character, that's ruining it for the investor. And he actually, I don't know, he must have been doing it as like tongue-in-cheek or whatever, because I can't seriously... I don't know why he said stuff like that, because it's nothing to do. They're running of the company and they're on screen. Everyone must realise they're totally two different things. So I don't know why he come out and said it, but he come out on his Facebook page last night, proper like long written note he's put about it. And I just thought that was just a complete waste of everyone's time.
I'll have to look at that because Foley's a reasonably bright guy and that's just an asinine analysis for him to make. Heavy, what's your thoughts on the stock situation?
Here comes the money! And it's gone.
Just like that. $340 million. I'll tell you, if I had $340 million to lose and I was still one of the richest people in the world, I'd count that as a pretty good situation. Chevy, free for all. What you got?
I lost all my... we've already spoken about all the topics I had planned.
All righty. Wayne?
No, I think I've mangled in everything previous what I wanted to.
All righty. Heavy, anything for free for all?
I got nothing.
All righty then. Well, with that, we're wrapping up. Let's give our contact information. I am Rocky Mountain High. You can reach me on Twitter at RMTNHIGH. All of us are active participants in the All Wrestling Week in Review podcast, which has been on hiatus for a few weeks while Dan is off getting married and honeymooning. But one of these days it'll be back and you can hear us there. Chevy, give us your contact info.
You can find me on Twitter at AWWIR Chevy.
All right, Wayne.
You can follow me on Twitter on at Wayne as a Baker.
I love that. Heavy set.
So Wayne, you're a baker.
Well, yes, but Devil Vamp had problems the first week I was on here with that. He seemed to think that I was making it up because that's such a great job. And I'm like, yeah, if I was making my job up, I'd be Wayne as a rocket scientist.
I look forward to the day that you're tweeting me from at Wayne as a rocket scientist. But my contact info... You can follow me on Twitter at HeavySet330. You can follow KFABE Sports Radio at KFABE Sports. And you can also go to www.kfabesports.com. You can also follow the Ohio Indie Report at Ohio Report. And if you also go to www.kfabesports.com, you will find some new episodes being posted for some other shows. And all the contact info for all the Twitter pages and Facebook pages for every show so far. It needs a little bit of updating and whatnot, but in time, very much in time.
I can see why you cleared your throat now to do that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, this will do it for this week's episode.
All right, guys. And that was the DSJNP.com WrestleCast for this week. I want to thank everyone for contributing this week. Heavy Set, Wayne is a Baker, Chevy, thank you very much for contributing. Even though I wasn't there, I greatly, greatly appreciate you guys contributing this week. Rocky Mountain High, I don't know if I can ever, ever repay you for helping me out, letting me visit my family. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Had a newborn this week, so I greatly, greatly appreciate you very much. Very much, sir. If you guys want to follow, please look at the comment box. Follow them. All the links are below. Please follow them. Again, DSJNP.com WrestleCast for this week. My name is Devil Vamp. As always, have a great week.
the bottom line. Gus Stone Cold.